Youth, if you are somewhat new with us, I'll get you up to speed because we're in the middle of this whole series where we're trying to identify what our destiny is, okay? Now, our destiny is not our job. I'm not trying to tell you whether you should be a teacher or a nurse and be on strike or whether you should be a carpenter or a bricklayer. Maybe you should be a bricklayer and you should be a person that stuffs dead animals, okay? That's something else. That you'll do at school. This is a little different. Well, what is it? So we did some stuff for 2 weeks, I think it was, on trying to understand our destiny. And we said that my destiny is a specific task that God has put me on this earth to accomplish. It may just be one thing, or it might be a couple things sequentially throughout my life. But for me, it's this next thing. What is God wanting me to do while I'm here on earth? Okay, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to lose out. And we said that it lies, and I find it, at the intersection of four things. The one was, so what are you? What can you do? What's in your hand? What's your abilities? What are your special skills? And we learned that some of us have abilities, right? No. Everyone, even Imta, has abilities. We saw some of that on the guitar today, you know? Every single person has abilities. You might wake up having a bad morning, but you've still got abilities. Secondly, it's about your passion. It's like, what drives you? What energizes you? What motivates you? What makes you stay up late at night and think about something? There are certain things you do that time flies. There are other things that you do that time drags. For many of us doing math, that's just like a long double period, right? But for some of us, it's like, give me another double math. You know? I just like, I want it in my brain. I should switch this one out. Should I use the other one? That was like special effects. Did you get that? Did you hear that? Okay? That's like my passion coming through. When you hold the microphone and you're speaking, if it's your passion, then it's like booming, right? Got the boom on there. So it's your passion. But then number three, when I find out some need in the world around me, like what can I do? What is there that I'm concerned about? And lastly, there's this conscience, all these convictions in me saying, I got to do something about it. I can't just sit around eating pap and vos when this is going down. I got to get out there and do something. I'm going to get me a baseball bat and go smack up on the heads those dope dealers. So I found my passion. I found a need. I found something I can do. And then I need to have tissues and medicine to bandage up the drug dealers afterwards. Because I'm a good guy at heart, basically, even though I've smacked them on the head with a baseball bat. So can you see where you discover? And so what we did is we said, well, let's find it. And we spend some time having a look at, and we used the worksheet. And it's quite interesting that there's like a whole lot of these worksheets still here. Some of you came 1 week and then you were raptured. You went to another planet. Some of you, I think, were last seen in the Delta Quadrant in the Star Trek world or something. But if you worked half on your destiny statement, it's there. And I've got one at least, one free one, girls. You can have it. You don't need to do anything with it now. But so if you want to come up afterwards and grab that. And what we did is we answered some questions about our abilities and our passion. And then in another week, we answered some questions about our needs and our conscience. And when we put that all together, we had an idea of what our destiny was. We wrote a few statements. How many of you were here and did that week? It was like that like pulling together week. And then we said, God has put me on earth. We tested it. We said, well, does it glorify God? Fancy word. That means, does it like make God smile and proud? Or is God's like, what the heck are you on about? You know what I mean? That's not like cool. What are you doing? And we saw that it needs to build other people up. It mustn't just be about me. It mustn't make me look great only. Maybe this task will get me a bit of fame. I mean, Martin Luther King Jr., we all still remember him. But more than just him, we remember what he did for civil rights in the United States that impacted our own country. We all have rights now partly because of what he did. So we might remember him, but more than that, it's impacting the world around. And ultimately, it's bringing God honor that he deserves because after all, he made us. And then we did a week last week about refining, because we felt that all of these guys that did special things, Moses was like, I can't do this. I can't lead people out of the promised land into new land because there's this big river. And God said, don't worry, just like smack it with a stick and it's going to open up and you can drive the cars through it. Moses was like, cool, that's like a party trick. I mean, if you can do that, you know, there's like water in the pool. You just like smack it and it opens up. You should try it sometime. Amazing things happen. We had a girl yesterday, Imta and I were at a conference, and she's one of her friends. They were from Rustenburg. Her name was Umpile, I think. And so we said to the other girl, where's Umpile? And she's like, no, lying in the car, double over. So we go to the car, we're knocking on the window. She's like, out. She's like dead, man. She's like corpse. She's like, well, she's had a very sore stomach, at least. She was like double over in cramps. We thought maybe she was dead. But that's not a problem, is it? Because you just raise the dead. So she gets out the car, she can barely stand, so we lay our hands on her, pray, and like she's like, oh, whoa. I'm like, and she was in the meeting within like 1 minute, you know? God, nothing's hard for God. You know that. Nothing's hard for him. He can change anything just like that. And Gideon too, he's like, ah, he's all scared, and he's like hiding away, we saw. Next minute he's like got 300 men and he's beating up like thousands of people. I mean, you can beat up your whole school with just you and your buddy if you pray and ask God to help you kick the rest of them in the shins or something. Thirdly, we saw David. I mean, he had some tussles with bears and lions when he was a shepherd, but he was just a shepherd boy. And he goes up against this mighty warrior Goliath, and before you know it, he's like chopping his head off. It's okay to be gross, because David was gross. Chopped the head, held the head like, woohoo, like, you can do that because it's in the Bible. I mean, that's what people did in those days. Solomon too, like, I can't build this big palace. Where am I going to get all the bucks from? I get like 50 rand a week pocket money. You want me to build a house for you, God? God said, yeah, I'll bring the rest. Cool. So you can multiply and double up your pocket money and do anything. You can build a house with your 50 rand a week if God is with you, if that's what he wants you to do. And so we met in some small groups just to build up our confidence. Some of you even took a microphone and said, this is my destiny, okay? And so that's where we are so far. It's been quite a journey, good couple of weeks. And today we want to talk a little bit about how do we live it. And I want to suggest that we might do things in 2 weeks. Any robot has like a red light and a green light, right? They don't mean much in Joburg. You know, in Joburg, people don't stop for red and go on green. They basically go. So if you are a driver, here's a tip for the week. You don't pull off when the robot's green. What you do is you wait a while, you have a sip of coffee, and then you just let a couple cars go. And then you slowly edge forward, pausing in the middle, and then you go through the intersection. Okay, just store that away for when you drive, because that's probably going to save you smashing and stuff. But that red light is supposed to be what? Like stop. And the green light's supposed to be go. You see, there are certain things that are going to red light your destiny, and there's certain things that are green light your destiny. Some things will stop them happening and taking place, and others will help them take place. And today we want to focus just on the first of those, on what could hinder it. There was a very challenging time in the history of the United Kingdom, of Britain. London was being bombed almost into obliteration. I mean, the bombs were raining down. The Germans were this close to running over the whole of Europe and basically taking over. You know, the Queen Mum would have been carried off to captivity, and we wouldn't have had such fine, handsome men like Prince Charles. Okay, nerdy weeds. But still, you know, we wouldn't have... I hope he doesn't listen to this and download it. Sorry, Charles, I didn't mean that. You're such a fine-looking, dapper man. And so these Britons are about to be wiped out, you know? I mean, there wouldn't be a Piccadilly Circus, and there wouldn't be other famous things, you know, like Kevin Peterson playing cricket in England, you know? Good South Africans in England team. And so the bulldog gets onto the national radio. Who was the bulldog? Winston Churchill. And in this darkest moment in the history, he booms out with his voice. He's that guy who said, never, never again. We will never surrender. And so what he says on the radio, he says, to every man that comes in his lifetime, that special moment when he is figuratively tapped on the shoulders, and he is offered a chance to do a very special thing, unique to him and fitted to his talents. He says, in everyone's lifetime comes this moment when it's like someone, you know, when you get tapped in the shoulder and you turn around. You normally turn the wrong side because there's normally someone standing here and they're tapping you here. So you tune there and like no one's there and you think it's God. But you must just look on the other side and often there's a human being. If you look on both sides and no one's there, then it's A, God, B, you blind, or C, you dumb. Freedom. One of those options. There's no other option, right? And so if you look around and you've been tapped on the shoulder, this is something unique and special. This will be your moment, right? It's not an arbitrary thing that you've been asked to do. It's something unique to your talents and your unique abilities. But he didn't end there. He ended that statement by saying, what a tragedy if that moment finds him unprepared or unqualified for what that work which would be his or her finest hour. And here's what he was calling Britons to do. He was calling Britons to leave their life temporarily and to go into factories and to make bombs, to man the nursing homes and the hospitals because the injured were just piling up. He was calling them, if you were even 16 or 15, to go take up arms and to fight against Germans. I'm not suggesting you must all run off and fight Germans, okay? Maybe in another time and another place. But he was saying to them, what if this moment will find you unqualified and unprepared? And I wonder what would make people in Britain unprepared for what would be their finest hour. When you think about that for a moment, what could stop them stepping forward and being willing to help out? Any thoughts? If you were in Britain and you heard that, what do you think he was hinting at? Anyone? What would cause them not to be able to live their finest hour, Lolu? Fear for their life. You know, what if I die? Another one. I got stuff going on, Winston. I got like a date tomorrow. You know, I've already told my friend we like going to the mall. This is like really important. I can't go and be a soldier. I bought tickets for the movie. We're going to see the new movie, Winston. Another one. Feeling insecure. Maybe I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can like. No, can you like pull the pin out of a grenade and toss it? Can you throw a cricket ball? I can do that. Well, can you put the cricket ball in your mouth and pull off a pin and then throw the cricket ball? Hey, I can do that. Just make sure you throw the cricket ball and not the pin. That happens sometimes. I had a guy do that. He literally threw the pin and he dropped the grenade at my feet. And I had 4.5 seconds to either die or react. Just a word of advice. If a grenade's at your feet, you don't smile at it and say, Ma, can you move the grenade? It's about to blow me up. What you need to do is you need to smack Gideon on the head so he falls on the ground and you pick it up and you throw it. Okay, otherwise I wouldn't be here. It's just a lot of wisdom coming through today. Can you see that? A lot of wisdom, just like life-saving. Now, I want to transition that a little bit to think about what could stop you living your destiny. Now, for some of you, you might be sitting here saying, well, hang on a moment, I haven't done this whole worksheet. I don't know what it is. Well, just think about what can stop you doing something significant with your life. It's as general as that, okay? And so right over here, there's going to be some guys gathering around. There will be a leader in each group. There by IMTA, there's going to be a couple guys. One of our leaders is going to come. Maybe Cheryl will be part of this group over here. And Jonathan, where are you? If you out near the back there. So if we have about 6 or so smaller groups, find a leader, rally around there. Akin's going to lead one down over there. Patrick, if you're in this area over here. And I want you to think of some things that could stop you from living your destiny. So think back, those of you who have completed the worksheet where I said I was going to do this and this and that. I want you to think for a moment like, what will hinder me doing that? And one person from the group will come and share back a bit before we learn some more wisdom from another source. Okay, so chill into those groups and you've got about 3 hours to think this through. Okay, we're going to begin with Cheryl's group over here. First group.
One of the biggest problems of doing your destiny is time, opportunity, and money. It's one of the biggest problems that we found in our group and me. But money, as we all know, God will handle with. Time just takes time. Opportunity, you'll get it if you trust in the Lord.
Nice. Time, opportunity, and money. Okay, next group.
We thought of what people would think, and then people pulling you down, and then negatively speaking.
Millennium kicks, carry on.
Okay, and then lack of influence and wrong friends, like peer pressure.
Cool, okay, cool.
Thank you. We said that it's the people around you, like peer pressure, and then low confidence in yourself, not enough experience, the type of environment, like if you're surrounded by negative people, and no faith in God.
Cool. Some great insights. They're giving them a round of applause. Yeah. Another group.
Our group, we got procrastination, naysayers, fear, and previous failures. Those are the things that can haunt you. And ways to fix them are, well, for naysayers, it's to believe in yourself and have a good sense of confidence. For previous experiences, you also have to remember the good things, not always the bad. For procrastination, that's up to you. And for fear, that's just to trust in God.
Awesome. Awesome. Deep stuff. Yeah. Arr. Wow. Arr.
Okay. We have insecurity, which is like not being secure of yourself. Then we have encouragement, when people don't encourage you and they bring you down. No resources, like not having enough money to do what you want to do. Then we have devil telling you lies to you. Or devil telling lies to you, which is like also bringing you down and not feeling secure of yourself. Then self-confidence is like not having enough confidence to stand up and do what you want to do. Then not practicing is like not practicing. Thank you.
Boo. Oh. Cool. Yeah, here we go, another group. That was sharp. You're one sharp group down on the frontier. That were good insights.
We believed if you could think that you had no fear at all, you would do a lot of things. You would like, you know, go up there and say, hey, you, I think I can do that, and this for you, you know. And we also like, we said about denial, you know, like you think like, oh no, who am I? I can't move mountains, you know. I can't speak to people. I'm just a nobody, you know. And we had that thing of like being shy. We don't have lack of confidence. We would like bring you up there and say, hey guys, I'm here to talk about God and I want to share this and that with you. And it was about, you know, when you lack wisdom in a way that you're not able to like to speak against the devil when you're in time of fear also. So yeah, those were like our kind of our pointers.
Awesome. That gives us a chance to see who the preachers are. And you'll be preaching next week. You'll preach the week after. You'll preach the week after that. Okay? I want to show you an example as we wrap up in the next few minutes of someone who lived their destiny at one point in their lives. And it's that young man David, if you remember. He slaughtered some things like lions and all that, slew Goliath, and he was an awesome king. I mean, he united different kingdoms together. He stopped factions and stuff. And but at a certain point in his life where he was called to live the next step in his destiny, something stopped him, or it could be a few some things. And so, CK, if you return us to the other screen, I'll come back to that and read those at the end. And I'm going to read this from 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it will appear up there. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 11. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening he got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messages to get her, and she came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanliness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "Uh-oh, I had the pregnancy test, and that little line, there's like two lines." David was like, "What the heck? What did I just do?" I want to back up a bit and think about that for a moment. What stopped him living his destiny? Well, every word in the Bible is important. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent. Here was a moment when David should have been doing what God had wanted him to do. But he decides that he's going to stay at home. He had never missed a battle before. A good leader goes, it's okay to go on holiday, right? No one says it's like wrong to have a vacation, to go away. Apparently, there's no school holidays in December because of the strikes, and you're going to carry on school in December. It's awesome. Oh, no, no. Okay, there will be a whole new strike in the country if that happens, right? That would be a disaster. And so at that time, when all the kings go, David stays behind. Major problem. If God wants you to do something and go somewhere, you should be walking in that direction at least. Not saying, "Nah, I'm tired now. I don't think I want to do that." But he also sent off Job and his king's men. Job and Dave were like this. They were mates. They used to hang out in coffee shops in the week. They were accountability partners. They were like tight. He sent the men out of his life that could have actually looked at him and said, "So Dave, I hear you calling for that young woman who happens to be one of your mate's daughters." He was violating his friend's daughter. That's not cool in anyone's book. This was one of his men that he was going to make a move on his daughter, who was like newly married. I mean, ideally, if someone's newly married, you should give them like about 50 years before you hit on them, because they just need to build a relationship. And then at 50, they look so gross, you wouldn't want them anyway. And so David is staying around. Another thing, one evening David got up from his bed. It actually says one afternoon. Late one afternoon, David gets up from his bed. What else is he doing? What else is stopping him living his destiny? He's like lazy. He's like sleeping his life away. He's probably up the whole night on the internet, checking his mail, playing World of Warcraft. He's just like a whole night, this David dude. And he wakes up in the afternoon. No, no, you shouldn't be doing that. And then he walks around on the rooftop. The word is actually he went on the prowl. You see, he should have been out fighting a battle. So now he's looking for something to get him going. So instead of living his destiny, he's trying to find a substitute now. "Hey, I need some excitement." God's like, "Yo, go to the battlefield. You get all the excitement you want." He's like, "No, I'm on the prowl. You know, I'm like a hungry lion looking around." And then he sees a woman bathing. I mean, it's not his fault that he sees a woman bathing, right? You can't, if you see a billboard, it's like not your fault that she's beautiful and scantily clad. But what happens next, guys, that's your fault, ne? That you can control. You can't control a bird flying over your head, but you can sure as heck stop it building a nest on the top of your head. You can't say like, "Oh, I couldn't stop the birds building a nest." No, dude, you just like push those sticks off. Some of you need to push sticks off your head this week, right? And before they become like a nest, and then there's like six baby chickens on your head and they're pecking you in your eyes. I hate that when that happens. And sometimes they even peck your ears, and they're pecking in your ears. It does clean out the wax, but it's like very uncomfortable. People at school are like, "What the heck? You got a nest on your head, didn't you know?" I'm like, "Well, I can't stop them." No, you can. So David is, there's this whole process. Then he sends someone to find out. At that point, the guy comes back and says, "Yo, that's the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah. That friend of yours, that mate of yours, Eliam David, it's his daughter." It's like, And she's like married. So everything, he's violating like decency and respect and order, and he's just moving past that. And he sends messengers to get her. And she comes and he sleeps with her, and it's not wise. Even if you are the king, even if you have a position of power, you shouldn't be doing that. So purity is a major thing that will destroy us living our destiny. So many people have set out well, but they've blown it along the way. And I pray that as God continues to use us to his glory, as we live our destiny, that we would watch out for warning signs in the path along the way. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father God, it's our desire, Lord God, that we would be used of you, that we would stay away, Lord God, from those things that would hinder us living our destiny. You've revealed to us today through the group exercise those things that could be a hindrance. It does seem, Lord, that there's a lot in our way. A lot would have us not live our destiny. But we know that with you, and we know that as we look next week on what are those things that would help us live our destiny, that you will come through for us, that you will fight on our behalf, and that we would do what you've called us to do. And Lord, we would bring change. We would impact our family, our society, our community, maybe even this world. And together with others, there would be movements that would be begun because of what you have called us to do. We pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that nothing would stand against what you would have us to do. We pray this in the awesome name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.